while the children leave, when I take it, it's time for them to go to children's church. Man, thank you for that piece. It was beautiful. Appreciate it very much. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. For those of you who don't know me, I work at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. And during this past summer, we hosted a reading literacy program for children called Freedom Schools in partnership with the Children's Defense Fund. We hosted children, 50 of them, from grades 5th grade through the 8th grade. And as part of this literacy emphasis program, we had a guest reader come in and read to the students every day. I was asked to be a guest reader. And I read a favorite poem from my mother, one of her favorite poems, written by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Now, the poem is written in slave dialect, so it's a little hard to understand at times. It's called When Melindy Sings. And so to get me relaxed and to break the ice a little bit, I just want to read one verse of that poem. She just spreads her mouth and hollers, "Come to Jesus, toward you here." Sinners trembling, steps and voices, timid like a drawing near. Then she turns to Rock of Ages, simply to the cross she clings. And you can feel those tears a-dropping when Melindy sings. Well, after I read that poem and I had a fun time doing it, the students got a chance to ask me some questions. That was the most nervous part of the day for me. The very first question one of the students asked me was, "What's your favorite book that you've ever read?" And that was easy. I said, "The Bible." The follow-up felt like a press conference. The follow-up question was, "Well, what's your favorite Bible story?" And I had to think about that. There's so many to recount. So I quickly thought of which story I would want most to have been an eyewitness. And I answered when God parted the sea for the children of Israel to escape from the Egyptians. As the Lord would have it, 2 weeks later, I'm reading Exodus in my quiet time. During my quiet time, I discovered a brand new and exciting component of this story. Even though I had read the story many times, like you have, the Holy Spirit helped me see something new, fresh, and totally exciting in the story. I'm sure many of you have experienced that as you routinely read the word over and over. God just reveals something new to you. Now, fast forward 2 weeks, and I'm having lunch with Pastor, and he asks me to preach on this Sunday. And it started to become clear to me that God was moving on my heart to preach from this very familiar biblical account and share it with you. What God was saying to me, what was new, fresh, and totally exciting. And so I'm privileged and humbled to share this with the church today. So let's begin this morning by standing. As I read from God's word, our text for today, which is Exodus 14, verses 13 to 23. Exodus 14, 13 through 23. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I have titled my sermon today, Walking on Dry Land. As I studied this scripture further, I believe God is telling us that we as Christians must do five things as a continuous pattern in our faith walk before him. For those of you taking notes, today I have 5 points to share in my sermon. The 5 things that I believe that God at least told me, and I hope he's telling us today, that we must do. Number one, to watch expectantly. Number two, to walk boldly. Number three, worry not. Number four, wait confidently. And number five, worship continually. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy and truth, humbled before you that you have preserved this wonderful story of the Bible account of what really happened. And Father, sometimes we read it so often we become all too familiar and we miss the powerful principles contained in it. So Father, I pray that you would enlighten this section of scripture for us today, that you would challenge our hearts to do what you've called us to do as a result. I pray, Father, that we would not look upon the children of Israel as weak and different from us because we are just like them. And may we, by the power of your Holy Spirit, do and become all that you've called us to be in Christ Jesus. For it's in the power of his holy name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Allow me to begin with a brief background of the story. And I'll begin in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Your fingers will get a little exercise today. We'll be running through the scriptures. Then God said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." What a wonderful song we sang this morning about holy ground. "Moreover," he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." So, thus God set in motion the mighty an unforgettable deliverance of his people from their enslavement in Egypt. And we all recall how he did so in dramatic fashion with the 10 plagues, exacting judgment on the false gods of Egypt as he freed and liberated his people. Let me just remind us what the 10 plagues were. I'll try and go through them quickly, but I also want to point out the judgment against the gods of Egypt in doing so. Turning the Nile to blood, this was a judgment against Apis and Isis, the god and goddess of the Nile. Bringing frogs from the Nile, this was a judgment against Hecate, the frog-headed goddess of birth. Gnats, this was a judgment against Set, the god of the desert. Flies. This was a judgment on either the god Re or god Uchit. Both were depicted as flies in the Egyptian culture. The death of livestock. This was a judgment of the goddess Hathor and the god Apis. Both were depicted as cattle. Boils. This was a judgment against Sekhmet, Sunnu, and Isis. These were the gods over health and disease. Hail. This judgment attacked Nut, the sky goddess, or Sirius, the crop fertile god, and Set, the storm god. Locust. Again, focus on Nut, Orisius, and Set. Darkness. This was aimed at the sun god, Re, who was symbolized by Pharaoh himself. And then death of the firstborn. This was judgment on Isis, the god protector of children. So Pharaoh finally let the people go, and they plundered the Egyptians of gold and treasures and departed to go worship in the desert, just as God had commanded them to do. Soon, however, Pharaoh's heart changed, and he ordered his army to pursue the children of Israel. The pursuit by Pharaoh's army was fast, and it was intense. As they approached the children of Israel, they were distraught and dismayed, as they said. And this is a good reminder to us that we're no different than the children of Israel. Now, they had just seen God's mighty hand work through these 10 plagues, bring them out in a miraculous and powerful way. Yet as soon as the Egyptians pursued them and caught them, here's what they said. Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Clearly that was not what Moses intended to do. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. This moment, this is a moment as believers that we all face at one time or another. It's when we forget the power of God working in our lives. We forget that God has taken us out of bondage, out of the bondage of the world, of sin in our modern day. Sin is our modern day Egypt. The world and the world system is our modern day Egypt. And feelings of fear, discouragement, dismay, hopelessness, or regret just overcome us. Notice what Moses tells the people in verse 13 of our text. He says to stand still and hold your peace. This leads me to my first bullet point. Watch expectantly. This is when God says to his people, be still and know that I am God. The same God that brought you out of Egypt with my mighty hand, the same God that found you a job when you were unemployed, the same God that comforted you when you were grieving the loss of a loved one, the God who gave you that proverbial wife that you don't deserve, that blesses you every day. She's a 10 and you're a 3 and you know it. The same God that gave you the very children that you love so much, and the same God that saved you from eternal damnation and his future wrath. Watch expectantly. God is saying to us, look back and see what I have done in your life. God is saying, trust me. Before you try to do it yourself, trust me to do it for you. Get in tune with how God is working positively in your life. Trust him and expect him to do his will in your life. And you will be blessed if you do so. That leads me to point two in my sermon. Walk boldly. God is saying to walk boldly on the dry land that I have provided you. Know that every good and perfect blessing comes from me, your heavenly Father. I have prepared a path for you and you only. A specific, individualized, personalized path for you. Walk your life of faith boldly, not timidly. Remind yourself of that recent promotion that you got. It came from God. It is your dry land. Your son or daughter are doing well in college. You didn't know how they were going to do. That's a blessing from the Lord. It is your dry land. You had a car accident, but miraculously you weren't hurt. God's angel is still in the protection business. This is your dry land. Thank God for it. The operation that you just had that was 100% successful, God bless you with a great surgeon. It is your dry land. Walk on it. Romans 8:31 reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? But too often we as believers forget that truth that's in our lives. So I would ask you this morning to just close your eyes and think about the dry land that God has provided you. I want you to see it, feel it, hear the crunch of the dirt beneath your feet. It is your dry land. Let's go back in our text and take a closer look at verses 19 and 20. These are the verses that stunned me when I read them recently. I've always thought that the power of this story was the dry land that God had provided for the children of Israel to walk on, or how God incredibly held back the sea into a wall of water, or the devastating destruction of Pharaoh's army in verses 27 and 29 of chapter 14. I nearly missed the spectacle, the grandeur, and the miracle of what happened in verses 19 and 20. So I'm going to read it again. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Wow. I can't believe that I almost missed it, that I had missed it before. The angel of the Lord, or literally the Bible calls it the angel of Yahweh, is mentioned only seven times in the Old Testament. It's what we call a theophany. It's a manifestation physically of the pre-incarnate Christ. And he's right there on the scene. He was right there as the seas were departed. He was right there with the children of Israel. The angel moved from the front of the Israelites to the rear to protect them from the charging Egyptians. The angel shifted his role from being guide to being guardian. All through the night, the pillar of cloud, which had also moved to the rear to be between the two camps, brought such darkness that military advance was impossible for the Egyptians. That night, God was performing another miracle, splitting the sea by a strong east wind and drying the sea floor. That leads me to my third bullet point this morning. Worry not. God is holding back the walls of the world system that seek to entangle you in its sin. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the sinful pride of life. Worry not. God is holding back the walls of doubt and self-hatred that might be plaguing you. Worry not. God is fighting your battles today just as he did for the children of Israel that way. Worry not. Jesus is with you. He either guides you or he moves to the rear behind you and he protects you. God's word declares this to us in Exodus 20 through 23. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. The word is saying to me that God is your guide and your guardian. In Exodus 19:4, God's word declares, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He does the same for his children today. He does the same for you. He does the same for you and you and me. He does the same for all of us if we would allow him to do so. Unfortunately, the Israelites soon forgot their God and how he had delivered them with his mighty hand. In only 40 days after seeing all of these miracles, they turned from God and began worshiping false gods. A golden calf molded from the very spoil that God had given them as they left Egypt. We too take our eyes off the walls of protection and guidance that God has given us. We too lack patience. This leads me to my fourth point. Wait patiently. Wait patiently on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Whether it be 40 days or 40 months or 40 years, we too must wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord has much to do with being rather than doing. Be the kind of person who turns to God in prayer in your time of need. Don't turn to the vain philosophies of the world. They will disappoint you and deceive you every time. Only God is ultimately faithful, desiring his will in our lives. Seek him at all times and wait patiently for him to point the way for you. Finally, I'll leave you with my final bullet point this morning. Worship him. Worship him at all times. God desires and deserves our praises all the time. Don't be like the children of Israel and worship false idols. Now, I don't believe for a second that any of you have any issue worshiping golden calves. Not a problem. But you may struggle a bit with worshiping the idols of today. And what are the idols of today? Any and all things that might interfere with complete faithfulness to God. God saved the children of Israel from slavery to worship in the desert for 3 days. Likewise, he saved you and me to worship him. This is one of the fundamentals of our Christian walk that so many Christians struggle with in this one area. I think it's because many Christians wrongfully believe that worship is something we do only on Sunday morning. That's wrong. Amen. Worship is a 24/7 preoccupation of the soul with God, praising him continually for who he is and what he has done and what he is doing in our lives today. As a means of help, allow me to offer you two simple ways that you can worship God continually. One, you can worship him in song. If you can sing, just burst out in a song of praise to God. But if you're like me and you can't sing a lick, listen to a song and carry that song in your heart. My wife knows that I am a nervous flyer. I don't like turbulence. I was on a flight from Baltimore to Cincinnati recently, and I was alone with the Lord with my eyes closed, listening on my iPod to the song we sang this morning, "Above All," by Michael W. Smith, which was sung so beautifully today by the praise team, by the way. Thank you. The flight was turbulent, but all was well with my soul. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. Close your eyes just for a second. and just listen to the lyrics of that song. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were there before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. The song only gets better from there. And if that doesn't light your fire spiritually, then your wood is really wet. That moment on that plane left me in a mood of worship the rest of the day. So I would tell you, meditate on a good song, and God will do the same in your life. My second tip for worship is to worship God for his many blessings to you continually. Now, this is some time ago when Tammy and I were raising our kids. They were younger. And every now and then they would not want to do what we asked them to do. Or we hear them fussing in the back seat of the car while we're driving someplace. And we had a little thing that we did. Any one of us could interrupt the commotion and say, attitude check. And then everybody else in the car would say, praise the Lord. And then we would begin praising God from A to Z. So A, somewhere I praise God for the air that I breathe. B, I praise God for his blessings. C, I praise God for Christ who died for me. Anybody have a D? What would you pray? D. This is not a test. I'm looking for an answer. Delighting in him. E. What? For your everlasting love for us. You could go on A through Z. So if you ever feel down, if your attitude is not right, just call an attitude check on yourself. And start going A through Z. God will bless that because his desire of our heart is that we would worship him. In summary, I believe that God has spoken to us through this story. He's telling us five things that we must do to strengthen our faith walk with him. One, we must watch expectantly. Two, we must walk boldly. Three, we must worry not. Four, wait confidently. And five, worship him continually. God spoke to me through this very familiar story in a very unfamiliar way. And I hope he'll do the same for you today if you'll let him. Let's pray. Heavenly, gracious Lord and Savior, I thank you for parting the sea in our life, for holding back the oppression and the attack of Satan and sin on our life. I thank you, Father, that you are guide and guardian at the same time. I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ walks alongside of us on the dry land that you have provided. I praise you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would have a special filling of him, a special anointing of him, that he would give us the power to be all that you've called us to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Father, that in our hearts, in everything and all that we do, we will continually worship you. And as we do what we do, Lord, we pray that no glory would come to us, but that we would seek to give all the glory unto you, because you are deserving of it. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.